O'Brien's here.
Hi, Ann. This is Ann. So, and there's nobody on the line yet, but I will just announce the topic because this is going to be recorded while we wait for others to join us.
Renee.
Welcome. I just want to give the topic of the teleseminar for the sake of the recording. We are going to be talking about BAN this evening, the Beyond Affairs Network, the support groups, which is the nonprofit work that we do here at Passionate Life Seminars. And specifically, one of the focuses of this particular call is we want to talk to, actually, BAN is for betrayed spouses only. But we want to be talking to the ones that had the affairs that are married to the people that they might be attending BAN, because what we've found is that they often feel very nervous about their spouses attending. And so we're going to be talking about BAN and what the benefits of BAN are, and answering your questions around that. So welcome, everybody. And we will be having Guy and Tammy, who are some of our coaches here at Passionate Life Seminars, also joining us, so that we will be getting the perspective from two that are on the side of the ones that had the affair and talking about how BAN has been beneficial. So that's the topic of the evening. So we are going to wait a few minutes for kind of everybody that's calling in to be with us, and while we're doing that, and, you know, I'll introduce myself. I am Ann Birch. I am the director of BAN and the co-founder here with Brian of Passionate Life Seminars and the Healing from Affairs. And Brian is with us here as well. So we usually like to give a little bit of a chance for people to introduce themselves as you join the call, and it's great if we have a first name and a city or state where you're from, or maybe you're in Canada. So go ahead if you'd like to introduce yourself.
Michelle from Atlanta.
Hi, Michelle.
Hello.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you.
All right. Anybody else?
Sandy from St. Louis.
Sandy, welcome. Glad to have you tonight. Who else do we have?
Hi, this is Carrie from Maryland.
Carrie from Maryland. Okay, welcome.
And there was
Bonnie.
Mississippi.
Okay.
I'll get Bonnie to go next.
Bonnie and Jim from Maryland.
Okay, from Maryland too. All right.
Mahmoud Hassan.
Okay, I didn't quite catch. Go ahead.
Guy and Tammy?
This is Mahmoud Hassan calling.
Mahmoud Hassan. Okay, welcome. We're glad to have you. And where are you calling in from?
I'm calling from Tampa, Florida.
From Tampa. Okay. Welcome. We're going to be down there in a couple of weeks doing one of our seminars.
And it better be warmer there than it is, has been.
We're the only state untouched by snow, so it's bright and sunny, and when you come, hopefully you'll bring more sunshine with you.
Well, planning on it. So I don't want any have any frozen strawberries anymore.
No more frozen strawberries, just sunshine. Good. And golf courses, and it would be nice to have you guys down.
Good. Thank you, Mama.
What are your names? Can you identify yourself?
Yes, I'm Ann Birch. I am the director of the Beyond Affairs Network. Ann is to refer to it, so I am your main host of the evening. And
your name again? I'm sorry, you broke up on me.
It's Ann Birch.
Dan.
Ann.
Oh, okay. Hi, Ann.
Hi.
We had Guy and Tammy join us. I heard.
Yes, we're here.
We're here.
This is Toby from Mississippi. Toby and Michelle from Mississippi, from Atlanta, Georgia.
Hey, Toby and Michelle, welcome. Glad to have you tonight.
Hi, this is Carolyn.
Hey, Carolyn.
Hi, this is Carolyn from New York.
Hi, is that the Carolyn that's the band coordinator that I know so well?
Yes.
Hi, nice to hear your voice again. Carolyn and her husband have been to a couple of first. Actually, I think you've been to all three seminars. You came to take your life back, and you've been to couples.
Actually, this is my first time coming.
Oh, Carolyn. Okay, so I've got you mixed up with a different Carolyn. But welcome, Carolyn from New York. Okay. Somebody else hasn't said hello yet.
Yeah, Sean from Detroit.
From Detroit, and I missed your first name.
Sean.
Sean, welcome. We're glad to have you tonight.
Thank you.
This is Kim from Virginia.
Kim from Virginia, welcome.
This is Jamie from Missouri.
Amy from Missouri, welcome.
And this is Tony and Debbie from Missouri.
Tony and Debbie from Missouri, welcome. We're glad to have you tonight.
Renee from Maryland.
Renee, welcome.
Yeah. Anne from Oregon.
Okay, Anne from Oregon, welcome. We're glad to have you.
My condolences, Anne, that the Ducks lost to Auburn.
Thank you.
They'll
come back next year. Watch it happen.
Yeah. Oh. Go Ducks.
Is there anybody else that has joined us that hasn't had a chance to introduce themselves with a first name and a city or state or country?
Johanna from Illinois.
From Illinois, and what was your name?
Johanna.
Johanna, welcome. I'm glad to have you.
Thank you.
Well, I've got just about 5 minutes past the hour, so usually at this time most people have joined us, and when we do these teleseminars, there's always different amounts of people that register and join, but we had fewer registrations than sometimes. We had about 30 or 40 people register, and typically not everybody joins that registers, so this is in some ways a little bit smaller of a group. The lines sound nice and clear, at least to me, so I should be able to keep them open and keep them in conversation mode. So if you missed my introduction earlier, we're going to be focusing this teleseminar and talking about BAN, the Beyond Affairs Network, which is our nonprofit work that we do. It is an international network of support groups for the betrayed spouse only. And we currently have over 100 groups, and we're in 12 countries worldwide, but my goal is to make BAN as commonly known about and available as other major support groups such as Al-Anon, so that nobody has to suffer in isolation through, you know, the pain of affairs anymore. And we're going to be focusing our call tonight on talking about why BAN is beneficial, and specifically who we want to talk to this evening would be, interestingly, not those who are attending BAN themselves, but we want to talk to those who are married to somebody who would be attending BAN, maybe that person that had the affair and the couple is working towards rebuilding the marriage, and so the question is, you know, here's my spouse going off to what might seem like these secret meetings, and there's usually some fears around that. So we want to talk about how BAN is beneficial and answer questions that we have around that. So that's all I'm going to say for my introduction, and I've got three co-hosts with me this evening. I'm going to let them introduce them. Go ahead, Brian.
Well, I am Brian, and I am married to Anne, and though I'm not part of the BAN itself because of the nature and the structure of it, I have been supporting Anne in her work in BAN since she started as a coordinator quite a number of years ago, and I'm excited to see how things have gone and to see her go from running a small little group in the western part of Canada to becoming the coordinator. It's been exciting to see that, and I'd like to share some stuff about that later. Tammy.
Yes. Hi, my name is Tammy, and I have the privilege of being the band administrator, and basically what that means is I'm kind of Ann's right hand as director. I'm in a kind of a support role for her and really a liaison between the coordinators and Ann, and really just there to support the coordinators and give them a lot of encouragement and whatever they need personally and with their groups. And I became a band member back, I found out about my husband's affair in June of 05 and went to my first band meeting in August of 05. And then became the co-coordinator and eventually the coordinator of a group. And I'm going to share a little bit more about what band meant to me, but I can tell you right now, in the beginning, band helped me deal with the insanity that was going on, and everything in me wanted to divorce my husband and be gone, and band was a safe place for me to go talk and to heal, and I got encouragement for people to tell me you don't have to make a decision right now, because if I would have made a decision in that emotional state, we probably wouldn't still be together. So have a lot more to share about that, too, and the positive benefits that I've seen with band in my own life.
And I'm Guy. I'm the other side of Tammy, and certainly will speak to the benefits and the activities that I saw from my perspective, being the one who committed the affair, and we'll talk about that a little bit more later.
So, and just in case, you know, anybody's not clear, and because this is recorded, so for people, you know, later, you know, a couple of things to understand about BAN is, first of all, you know, BAN is the nonprofit work that we do. There is no cost at all for attending BAN, and BAN is, the local BAN groups are run by volunteers. And each volunteer is themselves a betrayed spouse, and Tammy and I provide a lot of materials. There's structure, there's guidelines, and we provide support for them in how to conduct those meetings. And so where the initial contact might be face-to-face, it is for, or initial contact is done on the Internet. People find us on the website. They email the coordinator. And by the way, that can be done completely confidentially. The coordinators usually set up an email that is theircity@hotmail.com, and so even a person can be a band coordinator and keep their identity, you know, confidential. It doesn't have to be public. BAN is open to men and women. Both genders are having affairs, and both genders are experiencing being the betrayed spouse. And BAN is open to those that are healing their marriages, but those that are going through divorce, if they're a betrayed spouse on their own, it is also support for them. So hopefully that gives you a little bit of a background of what BAN actually is, and then we're going to talk about the benefits. I first became involved with BAN in 2003. Now, I actually... Ryan's affair was in the year 2000, so we're just at beyond 10 years now past the time of when we were working through this, so we have a lot of years beyond that. And it seems kind of odd or almost embarrassing to admit this, but I did not find BAN when I needed BAN the very most, and BAN would have been exactly what I needed when I was walking through my affair journey, because I remember feeling like that I was the only one, and it felt like no one in the world understood what I was going through. And when I went to the professionals for help, it felt like they didn't get me. And I remember buying books to help me understand the crisis in my marriage and try to get through it. And the things in the books were helpful, but there were days when I wanted to throw the book at the wall and just say, don't give me this how-to theory crap by somebody that learned about it in university. I want to hear from somebody who has walked this journey, who has been through it. Does anybody know how I feel? Because I feel like I'm losing my mind. And, but I, you know, funny, 10 years ago, the Internet was out there and everything, but it wasn't as out there as it is now, and it did not crossed my mind 10 years ago to do an Internet search for support, and that's why I didn't find BAN. When I healed, and this is what has led Brian and I together into the work, you know, I looked back on the journey and I saw the lack of help, and that's when we decided to create Passionate Life Seminars and we wrote our story in our book, My Husband's Affair Became the Best Thing That Ever Happened to Me, and we began this ministry slash work to help people with this experiential side that was so important. And that's when I went researching and looking, and that's when I found out about VAN, which was originally founded in 1980 by a woman named Peggy Vaughn. And so I began the first local support group in Western Canada, and it was an experience that, for me, was very incredible. And, you know, any pieces of my healing that may not have been there, I was able to get those pieces from that peer-to-peer sharing. And more importantly, it goes without saying that the ability to give back has given me some meaning. And you know, the affair is never a good thing. I would never give any credit to the affair, but it happened, and we can't turn back and undo that. And the fact of being able to have BAN and a way to give back brings some meaning out of something that otherwise is meaningless. And it's been also a great place for me to learn more about other people, so and to be able to help more people. That's my experience with BAN. Maybe you want to share about how your involvement with BAN, Tammy?
Sure, I'd love to. I found out about BAN. I found out about Guy's Affair in June of 2005, and did some searching on the internet and found a local support group that was actually just a town away from where we lived. And I went to my first BAN meeting in August of 2005, and I remember sitting in the car, you know, planning to go into the meeting and just really upset that I had to go to the support group. And as much as I did not want to go, I knew that I needed that. And so me getting in the car, driving to the meeting, and just being intentional about that was really, I would say, a huge part of my healing and actually kind of started things going in the right direction. And one thing that I just really loved about BAN is I had decided very early on when I found out about Guy's Affair that this was not going to kill me, that I was going to survive and overcome this. And that's really what I admire about the BAN members is they are survivors, and they really do come together and really encourage each other and lift each other up. And one of the most powerful things that I remember early on going to BAN is here I am in therapy learning that Guy's Affair is not about me, it's not my fault, and I didn't really believe that. You know, I thought maybe I had done something wrong, and if I could have controlled this, then that wouldn't have happened. And I go to these BAN meetings, and I meet some of the most beautiful, intelligent, articulate, just incredible people. And really what that did is it instilled confidence in me, because I was seeing people that, well, wow, this happened to them, and, you know, it's not their fault, it's not about them, maybe it's not about me. So it was actually a very pivotal point to have that positive support and to be with other like-minded people who are dealing with the same thing, and there's the encouragement that comes from that. And so I became a co-coordinator, and at this time
I had
read Anne's book.
The line is sounding like a little feedback, so I'm going to
mute it.
Okay, hang on.
Okay. Okay, can you still hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, perfect. This is still Tammy talking. I'll wrap mine up real quick. But I became the co-coordinator. And then what happened is, you know, I read Anne's book. And the one thing that I love about BAN is the leadership that we have in BAN. And it's really important in life to align yourself with people who get it, who understand healing. And I decided very early on I wanted to be aligned with Anne's philosophies of healing. I wanted to have what Anne had. I wanted to be able to restore my marriage and restore myself if that all worked out the way, you know, I was hoping it would be. So that was one reason why I became a coordinator. The coordinator that was in our group actually ended up, he had led the group for 5 years, so he was ready to pass it on. And so then I took over the group, and I led the group for 6 years. And had over 100 members in our group. And when I say that, they didn't all come to the meetings, but that's just to kind of give you an idea of how we were, you know, reaching people, developed really good relationships with local therapists, and so the therapists were supporting. You know, BAN does not replace therapy. I want to be really clear with that. So it's very good to do in conjunction with therapy. So we've developed relationships with local therapists where I refer people to them, they refer people to our group, and it has just been such a positive experience for me, and that's why we felt so passionate about doing this call, to really dispel any myths out there about the negativity, about the misconceptions, because we know that there's so many more people out there that are hurting and suffering that need to get support from a local band group. And we also know that we need to raise up some leaders out there to start band groups. And so really that's the purpose, is, you know, what it's done to Ann and I's life, we want to be able to share that a little bit tonight. So,
Tammy, do you want to go into talking about what does actually happen at a band meeting?
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely. So what will happen at a band meeting, typically most of the groups meet once a month, and what will happen is once you sign up for a local group, the coordinator will email you back. Once they screen you to confirm that you're a betrayed spouse, you'll get an invitation to the meeting. It's usually just an email. We only use first names. We really respect everybody's privacy and confidentiality. I've been in the group for 6 years, and I haven't had problems with, and I've had, you know, some pretty high-profile people in my group, and it's never been an issue because everything that's shared in the group stays in the group. When you go to your first meeting, they always start the meeting off going over the guidelines, and you can even read the guidelines online at BeyondAffairs.com under Band Support Group. All the information is there of the specific guidelines. I won't take the time to read through all of them. But then what will happen is there'll usually be some type of meeting topic, and it'll be something to do related to the healing journey. Maybe it's about how to deal with triggers and obsessive thoughts. Maybe it's about how to deal with anger. Maybe it's on self-confidence. Just different things that, based on Ann and I's experience, we've really developed some meetings materials and support for the coordinators, and a lot of times we'll use articles that Ann has already written, and we'll spend some time discussing that. And that'll usually be the first hour of the meeting, and then the second hour of the meeting, we'll spend time with everybody sharing their stories. And sharing your stories, if you're an unfaithful person, might make a lot of sense to you why we want to do that, but as the betrayed, every time we share our story, we actually heal a little bit. So every time we get that, my husband calls it the venom, every time we get that venom out, it's actually very healing. And so as the unfaithful, it's actually good for your spouse to go to a band meeting because they're getting some more of that out, which is really helpful. And then what happens as you progress in the group, the more time you're with the group, you know, you get to a point where the coordinator will say, you know, well, where are you today? Because there does become a point in the healing journey. It's not about the details of the affair anymore. It's where are you today? And so it really becomes our focus is, this is where I'm at today. I'm struggling with forgiveness, or this is where I'm at today. And so then the group can really support. We're not there to fix each other. We're just there to support each other. They may share tools and resources, you know, recommend maybe a therapist that they've gone to or that they had a good experience with or something like that. And it really does become like a little family of supporters. I mean, they really, really connect with people. I know a lot of friendships have been born out of band meetings. And then as a coordinator, I would never share anybody's email addresses because those are always confidential. But you see people kind of buddy up and support each other after the meeting. And the other thing that we do is anybody who's new to the group, we have a handout for every coordinator that lets them, it's specifically written to the spouses, and so you can give that to your spouse to say, this is what's going to be happening at the band meeting. So if there's any, you know, fears or any uncertainty about that, the unfaithful can read and kind of have a better understanding of what's going to happen at the meeting. So.
Thanks for sharing that, Tammy. As you're sharing, too, something that's coming to my mind that I think is one of our guidelines that's really important, and maybe this is a fear that sometimes the spouse of somebody attending band might have because we do have mixed groups, but one of the guidelines that is read up front in the beginning of each meeting is that there is absolutely no dating or inappropriate or flirtatiousness or nothing like that tolerated at band at all. We make it very clear that every person is vulnerable. We are all there to talk about the emotions of being betrayed and how we can move past them and how we can move on to healing, how we can gain perspective. And that's something that each coordinator is, you know, supported in being able to make sure that nothing like that is going on in their group. And I know that when I led, a group, I remember one occasion I did have a band member that was a male. And when we were leaving the meeting, he had talked to, you know, one of the females kind of at her car outside in the parking lot. And this may sound a little harsh or a little strict, but the guideline is the guideline, and it's pretty clear. She wasn't comfortable with it. He was asked asked not to come back, and that was the end of the story. It's non-negotiable. So we do recognize as leaders of BAN the vulnerability that people are at, and so that make sure that each person is safe, because we are, whether a person's working to restore their marriage or whether they're not, in either way, they don't need to be in a dating relationship when they're in a healing, and so we make sure that that doesn't happen. Brian, I want to give you guys really lots of the floor on this call, and so, you know, I want to turn it over to you at this point and just talk about how, being on the side of the one that had the affair, how you see BAN as a benefit, how it was for you, and maybe even how it's been for some of the clients and people that we've worked with, how BAN has been beneficial.
Okay, absolutely. And we're going to get Guy, because he lived through that in the healing journey with him and Tammy, so he's going to be able to share the experience that he went through and that he was able to get while he was going through the healing. In our own journey, as we were, pretty healed at that point. It was, I found it to be quite a helpful tool. And I know, and I often think back to the days when you first started going and started leading the group. And I guess the thing that I found really helpful out of that group, even though we were in a great place, was the fact that when you would come home, oftentimes you'd come home and sometimes you'd be kind of crying, and I'm kind of thinking, oh man, that's going to be a bad thing. But what I found was you were crying because there was somebody else's story that often represented something that was much worse than you'd went through, and so for me it was. It's a bit selfish to say this, but for me it was like, oh, wow, you were able to recognize that there's something else just happened to somebody else that was much worse than we went through, which I was, at the time we were going through it, I didn't think there was anybody that had a story that was, worse than ours because we were going through it. And I found it was really quite meaningful for you to come home. And there was times when you would thank me that in light of what you just heard or seen, you didn't actually have to go through that. So for me, that was kind of a helpful part of it. Having worked with hundreds of individuals and hundreds of couples, and we which many of them we encourage them all the betrayed spouse to attend a BAN group, and many of them do. It's been really wonderful to watch the individuals I get to work with. Where they are no longer having to answer every single question. Their spouse is able to find and talk to somebody else who listens to them, where they were of like mind and they could share some things and some experiences that where the betrayed spouse could go and talk to somebody that really got what they were doing. And I know in our own journey of healing, that was oftentimes our struggle. You were sharing, well, I just didn't seem to get what you were going and or how you're feeling. And the reality is I couldn't because I hadn't walked down in those shoes. And oftentimes what you just needed was to have somebody just to talk to. And so from my perspective, I always are recommending that the spouse attends a BAN group, the betrayed spouse attends a BAN group, because it will be helpful for the person who's been unfaithful. Is they're going to get some support and answers for their spouse that as an unfaithful person I'm not going to be able to give. And so I just find it's remarkably beneficial. And of course, I'll let Guy speak to this a little bit more about the fear of do they get ammunition, is it the secret club where it becomes a man bashing or a unfaithful bashing thing? And I was, Guy, do you want to, how would you like to address something like that and just maybe share from your experience, having you had Tammy go through that in your journey, how helpful was that for you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I'll come back to your question kind of at the end of what I'm going to say. But, you know, from the person who betrayed, you know, our perspective, once this all comes crashing down, you know, we tend to have in our mind that, you know, one, we feel bad, we get it now, and we just kind of need to turn the page, not talk about it, and everything's going to be okay because I'm not going to ever do this again. And what we really missed in this process is the devastation that we've caused our spouse. And along with that devastation, to for our spouse to get, you know, out of that feeling and that trauma is a process. And so while we have in our mind that, you know, if she's not wanting to talk about it, that's good. If she's not angry, that's good. If, you know, we can just move past this and, you know, it'll be our secret, I won't ever do it again, then that's all good. Well, that's all 100% bad, really. I mean, if you truly want to heal, and if you want your, you know, in my case, my wife, if I want my wife to heal, she has to process this. And, you know, she can only process this so much with me directly. And there is part of the process that occurs, you know, directly, but she needs other outlets. And so, you know, Ban really provided an additional outlet for her to go to. And what you learn in this process also is, you know, I have in my mind how this healing should go, but that makes it really about me and you know, how this healing should go for my benefit. And really, that's what got me into this mess to begin with, is what is it about me? What's good for me? And I need to look at my wife and see what's right for her. And what's right for her as part of this process is to, for her to go through this process and to be able to digest, you know, what's occurred, and to be able to talk things out. And to do that, she can't just do that with a single person, because she's not going to be able to fully go through that whole healing part. And so it's important that, you know, for us, bands served that additional purpose for having people who were going through similar situations to talk it out. And you know, there were times where it agitated Tammy, or, you know, topics agitated her. But that, what we've got to do from the person, you know, as the betrayer, is understand that, as Tammy mentioned earlier, there's a venom that essentially has been put into the person who was betrayed, and they've got to get that stuff out. And so while we think it's so bad and it hurts and it's painful and it's uncomfortable to have her, you know, angry and getting that emotion out, that's really good, because if they keep that bottled up, then they're going to explode down the line, and they're not going to heal, and they're just not going to get back to a healthy point where you can then work on your marriage and take your marriage to levels that you've never seen before, which is all possible in working through this. I mean, Tammy and I are, you know, firsthand examples of that. Our marriage is, you know, hundreds of levels better than it ever was before. Now, would we wish, you know, to go through this? Absolutely not. But what we've been able to take advantage of, learning about, you know, the issues within our marriage and going through the healing process, you know, Tammy healing, me working on myself to make sure that I'm healthy, and takes us to that point where we can really take our marriage to another level. And Ban was an essential part of that, because it provides like I said, an opportunity to discuss different topics, for Tammy to see different perspectives. And you know, in many cases, it was like an eye-opener for her to see how absolutely angry somebody else was. And it helps her process her own issues by seeing how others were processing their issues. And, it, you know, so it really provides a greater arena for her to digest and process all of the different emotions that she's going through with people who are going through the same thing. And, you know, yes, there were, you know, concerns of mine that this is just going to be, oh, another night, go bash the people who screwed up. And really, I mean, you know, if you want to think that way, then it will be that way. But if you see the positiveness of it and the fact that they're getting this emotion and this anger out, and it's a good thing, then you know, it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be a negative experience at all, because it's not. It's a very positive opportunity for, you know, your spouse to heal, to process, to take some steps towards, you know, being able to come back, you know, and really get back into the marriage on a healed basis.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for sharing that. It's just really good perspective, Guy. Tammy, is there thoughts that have come to your mind that you're eager to share now?
Yeah, you know, just as Guy was sharing, I think one thing that we hear a lot from couples that, you know, we work with, we're a part of Passionate Life on a level too, as we're coaches and we're also mentors at the weekends. And one of the things that we hear all the time is, you know, how did you guys do it and how are you healed? And I will tell you, the reason we're healed today is we used every tool and resource that came our way. And BAN was a tool for me. BAN was a resource for me. And one of the things as a coordinator that I've heard that I just think it just is a great testimony is a local therapist called me one time and he said, okay, I just want to find out what's going on at these BAN meetings. He says, I've been working for this client for 2 years and she's been so stuck. And she went to 2 BAN meetings and had all the breakthroughs that we've been working on for 2 years. And really all she needed was to be around people who had been betrayed. That's all she needed. And so after 2 BAN meetings, huge breakthroughs, and really started moving forward and stuff. And so I just think that speaks to the benefit of it. And I think one of the gifts that Guy gave me is that he allowed my healing to be about me. He never told me, you can't go to BAN. He never told me, you can't talk about the affair. You know, he never let his own fears and maybe his own shame that his name would come out or anything like that. He never let any of that get in the way of what I needed to do to heal. And so that's the thing that I think makes me so sad, is I do talk to people that are so desperate to come to a BAN meeting and their spouse has told them, you can't go. I don't want you to go in there. And the reason why I really wanted to do this call is because I would say, let them go and watch how quick they heal. It can actually have, you know, the what you think may not happen, it can have that total effect on it. And so I just think it's, you know, it's a great resource that's out there, and it's been a huge part of our personal healing journey that's helped us.
Mm-hmm. Some of the things I think that are important also for people to know is that, you know, each BAN coordinator is there as a volunteer, so it's peer-to-peer support. They're not experts. And that, you know, BAN coordinators at BAN, we don't tell people what to do. That's against our guidelines. Don't give advice is one of the guidelines. But rather, you know, if somebody shares how angry they are or how painful it is, that we encourage people to, if somebody has a similar or can relate to having gone through that, that they, you know, open with, well, something that really helped me to move beyond that when I remember feeling that was this. So they talk about their own experiences, and those that are farther along share what has been helpful for them. And we share resources with each other that are there. And sometimes the very fact that one of the things that happens to most betrayed spouses along the journey, and because the emotion is so intense that you feel and the betrayal so overwhelming, that most betrayed spouses have the experience of that they feel like they're losing their mind, like they're going insane, you know, and that they're not going to be okay. And when others can share you know, no, you're not losing your mind. You're going to be okay. You know, I felt that way too. It's just so helpful. And when you share something, that an interesting thing about BAN, when there's a meeting and somebody shares something, in any other setting as a betrayed spouse, if you looked for support, I mean, a lot of people choose to be private and not share, and other people tell the whole community, so there's both ends of the spectrum. But if you are one that shares somewhere else and people haven't been through it, the responses you get aren't helpful. You can tell that the person doesn't understand what you're talking about, but at a BAN meeting, nobody needs to say, you know, oh, I know exactly how you feel, because it's the nod, it's the look in the eyes. We all know that somebody actually understands how I feel, and that is incredibly helpful. Another thing that I find as a coach and as an educator that helps people specifically in healing from affairs is that the betrayed spouse usually has all these, and hopefully I don't lose any betrayed spouses here, but I'll call them the crazy thoughts. It's like all these thoughts revolving around in your head, and some of it you need to go back with your spouse with, but especially if they're women, because women work things through by talking about it. You know, men a little bit different, but still the benefit of BAN is there. And so when we're going through that, to be able to, if the unfaithful spouse, the one that had the affair, is the only source of support for the betrayed spouse, then you as the unfaithful person would have to hear all of the craziness. And all of that craziness is actually not helpful to the marriage. Some of it's kind of damaging. So it's better for somebody to have that safe place to be able to share it and have somebody go, well, this sounds to me like maybe this is something you need to look at, or this is a positive thing in your situation. And so then you as the unfaithful spouse, you're not having to deal with all of it. You just need to deal with what is essential and what you really need to hear, because for you to be that person's sole support would be, in my experience working with couples, too overwhelming to do. And I know that part of my healing journey, every time I had a chance to tell my story to somebody who got it, my own pain diminished a little bit, and I got better through those things. So, you know, those are some of the things that are helpful about BAN. I also want to say that one of the things that we share with our coordinators, because there is that thing about, well, you know, if they're listening to other people's pain, will it draw them back into it? Will it make it worse? And, you know, what I learned to do as a BAN coordinator is to keep what happened at BAN in my own mind, to put closure on that, to realize, and this is how I still handle our work today. You know, some people might think, how do you work for years with people that are in so much intense pain? Well, there's a couple of things that help me with this, and one of them is the great, amazing joy that I have when the couples are healed and the families together, and that betrayed spouse, when I see them laughing again, and then I remember my first meeting with them and the tears and the hopelessness. And so it's just the joy of seeing families back together. And for me, I do it really for their children. I usually never meet the children, sometimes don't see the children, but I hear about the children, and it's for the kids, you know, the work. So it's the joy of seeing the healing. And that's part of what each BAN coordinator, and they're there for a period of time, they get to watch people that are go from devastated to healed. Another thing that I did in order to, you know, not carry that pain is I would just, you know, on my way home, I would remind myself that me carrying somebody else's pain is not going to help their pain at all. And so I actually had certain music that I would use in my car, and when I would drive home from a BAN meeting, I would just say a prayer for each of the people, and then I would just kind of leave that be and, you know, choose not to carry it, and I'd put on some really fun, joyful music, and you know, this I learned to do, and then just sing to it, and so that I was, it was kind of my transition, my way of just putting that behind me so that I'm coming back into my home with joy. So, and today, you know, Tammy and Guy, I thought that was great that you guys shared about where your marriage is at today, and that's Brian and I's experience. And even though Brian and I, this has become a full-time work for us, really, it's sort of like Brian's affair is not part of our lives anymore. It's not, we don't ever talk about Brian's affair, and I just want to give that hope out there to every unfaithful spouse that you do the work of the healing, and then there comes a time when you know you don't have to talk about it anymore because you healed properly. And I can remember Brian's affair, but I have no more pain associated with the memory of the affair, and that comes from healing properly. Tammy, is there anything else that I've missed that we needed to cover tonight?
No, the only thing that I was just going to add is that we don't expect lifetime band members. Our hope is that they would come to band, you know, 6 months to a year, whatever they need. Some people need a little bit longer. And then they would really graduate from band. So if you, as an unfaithful, feel uncomfortable with band, it's only for a season. Your spouse isn't always going to be in that place where they need that support and they need to be in a peer support group. So I think it's important to know it's just for a season, and that's really our heart and our goal for band, that people would graduate and move on and get to the point where they get the tools and the resources from band that then they can just go basically walk it out. I mean, you get to a point in the journey where you've gotten all the tools, you've gotten all the resources, and now you need to just walk it out. And so I just thought I would add that, too. And then the other thing I was going to say that's important that we always work with the band coordinators is it's the same Al-Anon principle. You know, take one thing home from the meeting and leave everything else at the meeting. And so one thing that I learned as a band coordinator is when another band member would share their story, that's their story. And I don't have to get mad at my husband or upset because that's not my story and that's not my husband's story. So I think that happens naturally in the band group where each one of us becomes responsible and owns our own story. And we don't pick up anybody else's story, but what we say, no matter what the story is, that you're going to be okay. And, you know, everybody has to find their own path. I mean, Guy and I went through a separation. That was something that we did in our situation. Not everybody has to do that. So there's not a right or wrong way to heal. You just have to use wisdom and discernment and get tools and resources and then make decisions that work for you and your situation. And we just want, I think Ann and I's heart is, if there's anybody out there right now that wants to be a part of a band support group and they have been told they can't go, we really want that door to be open for them and for them to have the opportunity.
Hmm. And if anybody is interested, we do have a handout that is specifically for the unfaithful spouse. So maybe you're here and you're the one that's betrayed and you're listening to this teleseminar and you're thinking, well, you know, I wish my spouse would listen to this or that would be helpful, and maybe they don't. There is a handout that summarizes some important keys about band that can be quite a helpful resource, and you can get that handout from our website, or if you can't find it, just to email us, and we'll be happy to ask us for the handout for the unfaithful spouse related to band, and we'll be happy to email that back to you, no problem.
Yeah, I was going to say, Ann, if you want to go ahead, we can give up my email.
Okay, band at BeyondAffairs.com, right?
Correct. B-A-N at BeyondAffairs.com. And so if you have any other questions or need any other tools or resources that we've talked about tonight. And also, just to kind of answer this question, too, if you're interested in a band group, the way you find them is you go to our website and click on where it says Band List of Cities. And if you don't see a city listed there and you're a little bit into your healing journey, like we recommend about 6 months, then you can start your own band group, and we'll give you all the tools and supports to get that up and running.
Right. And just in case this gets recorded and put out there somewhere, the website is beyondaffairs.com. So I think that covers what we wanted to share. We want to give an opportunity to open it up for questions. And so if you have a question that you want to ask, I have this teleconference in question-answer mode. If you hit star 6, your line will be unmuted, and we will be able to hear you. So go ahead if you have a question. And remember, if you have a question, you just have to hit star 6. Okay, well, just in case that's not working for people, I'm going to open the lines up totally. Hang on.
So at a first meeting, this is Carolyn. What should I be expecting? I'm not sure what to be expecting.
I only heard the last part of your question. What should I be expecting? Was there more?
Yes, it'll be my first time going, and I know that there's going to be a group meeting coming up, and I wasn't sure what exactly. It's kind of venturing to the unknown, and I'm a little scared, and I just don't know what to expect. So.
Right. You want to talk to that, Tammy?
Yes, Carolyn, I think that's a great question, and I know exactly how you feel because I felt that way before my first meeting, and I just really want to assure you and settle any fears or questioning that you may have. Typically, just as humans, we're not too excited to go to a support group. I don't think too many people go skipping and excited to go to a support group. But what you can expect is that the guidelines will be covered so that you know that it's a safe place, and there will be possibly a meeting topic. It depends on where exactly your group is, you know, what the meeting topic will be. Typically, the coordinators will email that out ahead of time, so you have time to kind of get mentally prepared for that. And then you'll have time to share, and there's never any pressure in sharing. And I have to say, it's always kind of funny, as a band coordinator, people will email me and say, you know, I just don't think I want to share, and I'll say that's okay. And then they get to the meeting, and they want to share, because it's just, it's such a safe place to be. So one thing that I would recommend is email the band coordinator and just share exactly what you shared with us and say, hey, you know, I'm feeling a little bit nervous about my first meeting, and ask them, you know, sometimes people email me how many people are going to be there, ask them what the meeting topic is going to be, just different things like that. And the biggest thing I would encourage you is don't not go. I think a lot of times we talk ourselves out of going. I would just encourage you to go and give it a try and attend a few meetings before you make a decision if band is something you want to do or not, because a lot of times we'll talk ourselves out of it. And I would just encourage you to make that commitment and to go, and I think you'll be glad that you went. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. And I think it's just important for you, Carolyn, to know you're not alone. It's really important for you to know that.
Some of the things, this is Anne, Carolyn, some of the things I think that you will experience, you know, and I think back to the beginning and a lot of the people that came, I think that you will experience feeling very loved and supported and understood, and you're going to be surprised at how powerful that feels. And I think that you can also expect that you're going to walk away from that meeting with an insight. I don't know exactly what that will be, or I sometimes call them aha moments, where it's like, oh, that's really helpful. Now I understand why I do that, or that now I know what I'm going to do about that, and just some perspective and some direction. So those are some of the things I would expect from a band meeting. And, you know, at each band meeting, I mean, my goodness, we're in 12 countries, you know, so there's different people at each band meeting, and we even transcend different cultures. And so if ever you have an experience and for any reason it, you know, there's something that's not positive about it, you know, send it to Tammy an email, and we will, you know, work that out and help you through that. But I wouldn't expect that to happen, but given the fact that human beings are involved, I've never noticed that they're 100% perfect nor predictable. So, you know, that things can happen. Anybody else? Any other questions?
Yes. This is Johanna.
I'd like
Johanna.
Johanna, okay.
Can we still attend if our spouse is continuing an emotional affair?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, not every spouse is doing the right things to heal the marriage and make things right. So, you know, if your spouse is in any kind of affair and continuing it, we're there for you, because that's devastating, and how are you going to deal with that? You know, Brian and Guy were the type of unfaithful spouses that we're doing the right things, but there are also sometimes unfaithful spouses are continuing their affairs, and all the more you need the support. So, yes, you are welcome. Great question.
And where are the meetings held? Are they held at someone's house or at a...
They're never held at somebody's house because we want to keep it a neutral format, and we don't want any of our band coordinators to be exposed in a personal way because, you know, like we say, everybody is screened through email beforehand so that we know that that everybody genuinely is a betrayed spouse that belongs there. And so generally speaking, the coordinator will either find maybe a church that would allow them to use a meeting space. Sometimes hospitals have meeting rooms, public meeting rooms that can be rented. Sometimes libraries have rooms. I've seen band meetings in police stations. Sometimes there's a public meeting room that can be rented. So it will be sometimes it's in a restaurant that has a private meeting room. Some restaurants can close off the door and have a private group, and everybody just has to order $5 worth of food or something. So some band groups meet like that, but it will be a neutral public setting. And the only way that anybody would find the time or the place of the meeting is through that particular coordinator letting them know, and that's how it's kept anonymous. Nobody else in the restaurant knows there's a band meeting going on in that private room. So is that helpful for you?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions?
Tammy, Anna?
Anna?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Okay. So go ahead.
It's Mac, by the way.
Mac?
And,
okay.
I just want to throw in a comment. First of all, listening to Guy's story and Tammy and the way you expressed it made me feel very, very comfortable, because naturally there are fears and trepidations, and as a perpetrator of such a horrible thing, you know, I understand that healing is a process, and I liked how you emphasized that, you know, that it's a process and a journey, and I just feel like it was very, very positive, just to give you some feedback about that.
Thanks. I appreciate that. It is. It's a hard concept sometimes for a lot of people to grasp, especially in this situation, so, you know, I appreciate you saying something.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, you sure can. And your
just
name
wanted,
is?
It's Anne.
Yes,
and okay. I just wanted to know about overcoming the fear of going and finding somebody you know there. That's probably, I mean, have you had other people ask that question? Has it happened before? And what is done about that?
I've had that question asked often. I think that's a fear that a lot of people have. And to be honest with you, I have never run into that situation where that happens. Most band meetings around the world, across the country, there would be maybe, you know, like a 6 to 10 people at a band meeting. There always has to be a minimum of 3, so we probably have a lot of band groups where there's 3 or 4 people. So you take a big city like, you know, Dallas, well, they have a bit bigger of a group, but Chicago, and all of a sudden you have a band group and you get 6 to 10 people attending. I mean, the chances that you're actually going to run into someone you know there, statistically, is pretty small, right? I guess it could happen, and the only thing to say if it ever did is, you know, whoever you might run into there, they obviously are in the same boat as you. And so it's not like anybody has a one-up, and everybody agrees to the confidentiality up front before they, you know, come. That's a commitment that people made. And so I have not had a problem with it. And Tammy, are you aware of any problems that have come up along the way?
Yeah, and you're exactly right. If that was ever to happen, they're both in the same situation, so it doesn't become an issue. But what I would say, if that's a concern, I have several band coordinators that live in very small towns, and, you know, maybe their husband's a prominent physician or a dentist or something, and they're really trying to heal privately with that.
Yeah.
They will go to another city nearby. Like I have some coordinators that drive, you know, 30 minutes, and that's actually where they do their meetings and stuff. So if that's an issue, that seems to be probably the best way to handle it, just to go to the nearby city, and there will be some more confidentiality in that. But if it was ever a problem or somebody breached the confidentiality, they would be asked to leave the group. And what I found with BAN, it's a non-issue because everybody really wants the help and the support. So everybody agrees to the guidelines. But I haven't had, you know, I've been doing this for 6 years outside of Dallas. It's pretty big, but we live in a little community that's not as big as the metro Dallas area. But I've never had anybody walk into a BAN meeting and say, oh, my gosh, I didn't know you'd be here. I've never had that happen. And I have had people come together. Typically that's what happens more is that I see, you know, my neighbor's dealing with this too, and then they go with the neighbor, or my friend at church is dealing with this too, and they go that way. And so, again, you know, we're all in the same boat when we walk into those rooms. And all that, I think all those fears, you know, I think you bring up a good point. I think part of the healing journey is learning how to face your fears. And so that's something that I always say to people. The phrase that Guy and I use is that you got to lean into the pain. That's really part of the healing process. And I think a lot of times from a spiritual level, you know, God did not give us a spirit of fear. And so if you feel that fear, sometimes if you will just lean into that and do what you need to do, that's exactly what you do need to do. And so I would always tell people, don't let fear make your decisions. So.
And these are
does that
great.
Help? Does that
help?
Did that answer your question?
But yes, very well. Thank you.
Okay, good.
Any other questions before we close this evening? And if there's anybody that would like to direct a question to, you know, Brian or Guy, you're welcome to direct your question to somebody specific.
Hi, this is Sean.
Hey, Sean.
I was wondering, there's no BAN support groups near where I live, and I was very interested in joining one, but I just can't find one that's close enough for me to attend.
Okay. And are you the betrayed spouse?
Yes.
Okay. Would you consider being the coordinator for a group? And let me just say, before you answer, let me talk about what coordinators are, because a lot of times people are, you know, have a wrong perception. The coordinator is not the leader of the group. The coordinator doesn't give answers. The coordinator, you know, isn't a therapist or telling people what to do. All the coordinator is the contact person for that city. Because BAN is volunteer-based, in order for there to be a BAN group in any city, somebody has to volunteer to be the contact person for that city. And so if you choose to volunteer, there's a sign-up form. First, you read through the information on the website under BAN support groups, and then you fill in the sort of the BAN coordinator application form. You set up an email before you do that. So, you know, I've heard there's a lot of Springfields across the United States. Just about everyone has one. So you might have, like, you know, springfieldban@hotmail.com. You set this up, and then you send in that form. That form will go directly to Tammy. And Tammy, why don't you take it from there? What's the next steps that happen?
Yeah, once I get that sign-up form, and then what I do is I just verify that, you know, somebody's a little bit into the healing journey and that they've got their email set up, then we'll get you added to the website. And then there's going to be a welcome email that comes from Ann and gives you all the resources that you need. There'll be a link where you can go print the BAN coordinator handbook, which really gives you all the tools that you need. And then we send you an email to join. We have a private BAN coordinators Yahoo group. Oh,
it's
static.
Your magic, honey.
Yeah, you want to mute that? I don't know if it's okay. And then we send you an invitation to join that group. And basically what that does is that allows you to get aligned with all the coordinators all over the world, and you can post things that are going on in your group, and we support each other and encourage each other. And then the third email I get is what I do an introduction call with all of the coordinators, and it's basically a free coaching call. Tell you a little bit about BAN, answer any questions that you have, And then really, how can I help you? Like, where are you in the healing journey? What kind of support can we give you? And if it's something that I don't have the answer or the resource to, then I would go to Ann and get that additional support to get you the tools. I'm a big believer that the band group is only as healthy as the coordinator, so I want to do everything I can to support the coordinator. But I will tell you right now, we don't want perfect coordinators because there's no such thing. We want, you do not have to be completely healed. You can be in process. And I typically see a lot of groups started for the same reason that you're saying, you know, I need support, I want to be a part of this, there's not a group here, I'm going to start a group. And then what I see is that coordinator just really kind of becomes a butterfly in the process. You know, they grow and have so much, they grow personally in that group. And so that's a really important thing. You know, I feel like if that's put on your heart, where you feel like you want to be a part of band, to go ahead and take that step. The great thing about being a coordinator is that we don't make you sign in blood, and it's not a lifelong commitment. You know, if you do it for a year or so and then you say, hey, I'm ready to move on, there's no problem. We recommend that when you start your group, you get a co-coordinator in place just so you have that additional support, you know, and someone are there to help you with the meetings and stuff. And sometimes it takes time to get somebody in place. But it's very, you know, we really work with people and try to, you know, set up a win-win situation for you all. And when you're ready to move on and you're entered a new season, then, you know, we bless you out and we recommend that you, we just thank you for your time and just whatever you feel called to do, so.
And everything is laid out for you, so right down to, you know, how do you find a place to meet and how do you answer and screen those first emails and, you know, how maybe do you get the word out locally about your group, and how do you handle different situations? And we even have extra support that we run from time to time just for band coordinators that don't have groups running yet. Sometimes, you know, it's interesting. Different regions are different. Some people sign up, we put the email on the website, and boom, people are contacting them right away. Other people, they'll be on the website for the longest time and that nobody writes to them, and so that, you know, they could be a while waiting to get that group, and they're there because they themselves want the peer-to-peer support. So, you know, that is an option. We understand that, you know, people have different reasons why they might not want to, but there is a lot of benefits and rewards in being a band coordinator, and like I said earlier, it brings a lot of meaning to your own situation, but that's really all we can do. The only way we can have a band group in any particular city is for somebody to volunteer. And Tammy, you talk about, you know, in a year later, however long, you know, sometimes somebody signs up and then a week later they write to us and they say, you know what, this is just a little, I actually changed my mind and I don't want to do it. That's fine. This is volunteer-based, so, you know, it's not a big commitment or something that you can't get out of. So I'm going to try opening the lines up, and, you know, just for everybody, be careful that you don't have background noise. And if you do have background noise, when I open up the lines, if you hit *6, we'll be able to hear the others. So hang on.
Hi, this is Mac again.
Just fix that.
Okay, so because of the static on the line, I've had to sort of clean up the lines. But if you hit now, right now, if you hit *6 on your phone, we'll be able to hear your line. And
can I have? This is Mac again. Hi. I have a quick question.
Okay.
Can you expand a little bit more on the concept of leaning into the fear?
Leaning into the pain?
Right. Well, no, the word was fear. When you say lean into the fear, just if you don't mind, I know, you know, there's a lot to be said about that, but if you could just expand on that a little bit more and explain that, leaning into the fear.
Yeah, I said either face your fears or lean into the pain.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's fine. What I mean by leaning into the pain, and I'll just kind of give you an example. Sometimes when couples are dealing with infidelity, because it's so painful, the easy way seems to, let's just brush it under the rug. Okay, are you sorry? Yes, I'm sorry. You're not going to do it again. Okay, kind of brush it under the rug and move forward. Mm-hmm. Okay? And then in 4 years, we're dealing with another affair. Just an example. Okay? So when you lean into the pain, you both actually commit on an individual level, okay, I'm going to work on me, I'm going to lean into the pain, as awful and terrible as it is, I'm going to get to the other side of it, and when you get to the other side of it, that's really where the healing can take place. And so for Guy and I mean, I believe that's one reason that we're healed today. We didn't run from the pain, we leaned into the pain. And maybe Guy can add to that, too. I don't know if I'm explaining that.
Yeah, I mean, just for, like, from my perspective, a natural example of that is the whole idea of Tammy's anger and her emotion, the fact that I looked at that as a positive and that it is a positive, that I would, you know, not run from that or not, you know, be hesitant about that, but I would, you know, in concept, lean into that because it was a good thing for her to get that out. And, you know, from her perspective, it's painful dealing with this. A lot of times it's easier just to, you know, just to cut everything off, not go out into the world and, you know, shut herself in a closet. Well, you know, to deal with it and to process it, she's got to push herself, and it's going to be painful because it's not comfortable. I don't want people to see me because everybody knows, you know, even though they don't. She thinks everybody knows, and I'm so ashamed. And, you know, so she's got to lean into that painful feeling and discomfort to process through it. So that's what she meant by, you know, leaning into the pain. It means, you know, not just doing what's comfortable, but doing things because it will help you along the process.
As opposed to just brushing it under the rug.
Exactly, where you're never really dealing with it. And like Tammy says, whether you're dealing with it in an affair, you know, in a few years, or you're just not healed where your relationship can go anywhere, you've got to deal with this and not ignore it.
I mean, another way to say it is, you know, Guy and I always say affair recovery, it's not for sissies. You know, I tell women, you got to put your big girl panties on. This is hard. This is not going to be easy. And so I think if people know that going into it, but it's a season. You don't always stay in the pain. I mean, I feel the same way that Ann does. I have no pain today from Guy's affair. Guy is my hero. I love him. I respect him. Our marriage is better now than it's ever been. But would I be able to say that if we hadn't done the work that we needed to do? Because really what we believe at Passionate Life is you deal with the affair issues head on. You've got to lean into the affair issues, figure out why the affair happened, and then you start looking at the marriage issues. And, you know, that was hard for me to take. I don't take any responsibility for Guy's affair at all. It's not my fault. He made his own choice. But there became a point in the healing journey to look at the marriage because we both decided if we're going to do all this work, we want our marriage to be better. So I had to really look at myself and grow in some areas and make a decision. I'm going to be better and not bitter, and I'm going to have to do some work. And I always tell people, if there's a pill we could give you and make this easy for you, we would. That's just not how it works. I mean, Guy and I are healed today, and Ann and Brian are healed today because we've done the hard work. And anything in life that you have that's great, you're going to pay a big price. It takes work.
You have to work.
Yes. You don't have a great marriage just by accident. You don't have great kids just by accident. You don't get promotions and do great at work just by accident. You got to work at it.
Got to work at it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because I know we need to close. So maybe I'll close this teleseminar by sharing this story, this personal experience that Brian and I had, and I think this really kind of caps what's being said here. But as you can imagine for Brian and I, because this has now become our work and we've appeared on television across North America, we've been on the Oprah show, you know, so wherever we go, and I mean, you sit down on an airplane and people ask, well, what do you do? And I say, well, I'm an affair recovery expert and I wrote a book called My Husband's Affair Became the Best Thing That Ever Happened to Me. You can rest.
Then they look over at me, they look across the seat, are you her husband? And I say, yeah.
And so we get interesting conversations, either that or they don't know how to take us and they just grow instantly quiet. But so people have a tendency to tell us their story everywhere we go, and you know, because there's very few people actually, it seems, out in the world that don't have a story of being on one of the three sides of an affair triangle. That's my experience going out there. And so one time we had a couple that they did not have an affair story when we first met them, but they were very excited about our work and they wanted to help with our work. And you know, we've got a big job. There's unfortunately, this is a really big problem across the country, around the world, and we can use a lot of help and volunteers, and, you know, we're growing to meet the need of more and more couples contacting us. So we thought, okay, we want to find out more about this couple, and we decided to sit down and have a cup of coffee with them. And but unexpectedly, and this couple had been married for 40 years, so they were an older couple. And lo and behold, we sit down, and sure enough, they begin to tell us the story about the affair that took place in their marriage 7 years into their marriage. Now, remember, they've been married 40 years. This is 7 years into the marriage. So we're talking about an event that has happened 33 years ago. And the woman breaks into tears, and she looks like a devastated, betrayed spouse that just found out yesterday. And we look over at the husband, and he's staring at his shoes covered in shame. And you can see that he feels terrible. And Brian and I look at each other, and we think to ourselves, oh my goodness, this couple is not healed. And so we, you know, explore it a little bit further. So we ask them then, well, back, you know, 33 years ago when this happened, what did you do to try get past this? Well, this couple was a Christian couple, so they had gone to see their pastor. And the conversation had gone something like this. The pastor says to the husband, are you sorry for what you did? So he says, yes, I'm sorry. So they turn to the wife and they say, well, do you forgive him? Well, she's a Christian, and you've learned that, you know, if you don't forgive others, God can't forgive you. So she says, yes, I forgive him. And the pastor says, great. Now let's not talk about that anymore. Let's just talk about making your marriage better. And so they never talked about the affair. They never leaned into the pain. They never dealt with any of it. And, you know, what can be learned from that is people say time heals. No, it doesn't. Not time alone. Time plus doing the right things heals. But if you think you're just going to put time behind it, you're not going to heal. And if you think you're just going to say, oh, just get over it, we're not going to talk about it, put it out of your mind, you can put it out of your mind, 33 years later, a conversation happens, boom, you know, that's not the kind of healing that I want. It's not the kind of healing I want for anybody that would seek my help, and it's not the healing I want for anybody listening on this call. So I encourage everybody to lean into the pain, to do what it takes, and for betrayed spouses, I find that in the beginning, we need more than one resource to help us get through that, and whatever support, you know, one person is getting when both are working together towards healing, it's benefiting both of you. So I hope this has been helpful, and we welcome any follow-up emails. Again, website is beyondaffairs.com. You can call us too. Our phone number is 604-859-9393. Or if you have questions about BAN, you can email Tammy, BAN@beyondaffairs.com. And thank you for joining us this evening, and good night.
Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you so much.